Now that brings us to the third chapter. And in the third chapter, we have a division that we have made here, and you'll find it in our notes. The first four verses, you have the sins of the princes. Now the theme of this chapter is that in this third message, he denounces the leaders of the nation for their sins. And we find that, first of all, it's the sin of the princes in the first four verses. And we'll see that now in just a moment. But verses 5 to 8, we see the sins of the prophets. They are the spiritual leaders. And then in verses 9 through 12, we see the sins of all the leaders of Jerusalem. That includes the princes and the prophets, but also the priests. And now we see the injustice of the rulers there in that last section, verses 9 through 12. Now, we'll begin here with the first group in the first four verses. And as we said at the beginning, the way that you can tell these major divisions of the book, he always gives this exclamation of, "Hear." It's a call to hear. "Hear, all ye people," back in verse 2 of chapter 1. Now in chapter 3, "And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob." And now he's speaking to the leadership of the nation. "And ye princes of the house of Israel." They is specifically now, at first, is to the princes, the political rulers, then the religious rulers. And then he bundles them all together and even puts the priests with that last group. But he says, "And ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice?" Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he means simply this. These people have been in the position of judging themselves. The princes sat in judgment over the nation. The people that were found guilty of a crime were brought before the prince for judgment. And now they ought to know what justice is. They ought to know what judgment is. And this is something that you find again in the second chapter of Romans. You remember the Lord Jesus, through Paul, said this, verse 1 of chapter 2 of Romans, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." And he doesn't mean identical things, but similar things. And that is, if you sit in judgment on others, then, may I say, you will be known as a harsh critic and a harsh judge. And then you, in turn, will be judged for that, you see. You've done the same thing. You can look at the other fellow and criticize him. It's easy to do that, you know. It's amazing how we can see the faults in others that we can't see in ourselves. When Nathan came in and told David about a man in his kingdom that had a great many sheep, and he went over and took the one little ewe lamb that his neighbor had, the poor fellow only had one, and he took that and slew the little lamb. Well, that was injustice, and David is the king. David stood up, and I think he's a red-headed fellow. Man, he was hot. This thing in somebody else, he could see. But he has done the same thing. And Nathan says, "You're the man. You did this." And David accepted the judgment and confessed his guilt before God. Now, that is the reason God says to these leaders in Israel, "You've been in the place of judgment. You've judged others. And yet you have done the same thing." And my feeling is that the reason so many judges in our land today have been so lenient with criminals and have not wanted the death penalty, that it's actually a bad conscience that's bothering them. I have a notion that many a time when a judge sits on the bench, and a man's brought before him accused of a certain crime, that judge gives a light sentence because it more or less saves his own conscience. And that, again, may I say, is a reason there should always be men of character in places of leadership. And I must repeat this. It's not the form of government that is important. If you've got a good king, it's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the character of the leadership that is all important for a nation. Now, their character will determine the way they'll judge. And I think that we've had a very enlightening view of the leadership of our nation today, especially judges, in giving light sentences. It's nothing in the world but a guilt complex that's causing them to give that sort of thing today. Why? Because we need men of character in that position. And God says he's going to judge them. Very frankly, I think it's almost a joke when you have a group of congressmen investigating something in politics, and probably everyone sitting there judging the other fella, they've got a skeleton in their own closet. And we've had reason to believe that in the past few months and years, have we not? In my entire lifetime, I've never felt that there were men that were in places of leadership that were fit to sit in judgment on other men. It takes men of character to do that sort of thing, you see. Now, that's exactly what God is saying to them. Is it not for you to know justice? You're not doing this in ignorance. You've had experience in this. You had men brought to you guilty. Now you are guilty. That's what God is saying. Who hate the good and you love the evil. It's very hard for a judge who was at a cocktail party the night before and he got a little tipsy himself to sentence the man brought before him the next day who has killed somebody because he was a drunken driver. No wonder he lets him off easy. A man who drinks and is a judge, in my judgment, is not fit to sit in judgment on alcoholics that are brought before him that have killed somebody. Now, I know what I'm talking about, friends, because my mother was killed by a drunken driver right here in Pasadena. And I want to tell you, I would not press charges. I didn't feel I should press charges. But I told the court when I was called in as a witness, I said to the court, I feel like justice should be done. I'm not asking you to take vengeance on the man. That's all I would do if I did that. All I ask is that justice be done. And believe me, he got off light for a very light sentence. And I always had a feeling as I looked at that judge that he had a pretty bad conscience, by the way. May I say to you, the leadership, they actually hated the good and they loved the evil. Now, folk like that are not fit to be in positions of leadership today. A man that is a congressman or in any position of government, a senator, or a judge, or any other high position in government, if it's discovered that that man is unfaithful to his wife, is that man, or that group of men, are they fit to make laws relative to marriage? I don't think so. I don't think they're in a position to. No wonder we have the breakdown of morality. It goes to the leadership, and God puts the blame on the leadership here of the nation Israel. And this, as we said at the beginning, God is presenting in Micah a philosophy of human government. And basically, you have to have men of character. And he says here, you hate the good, love the evil. And then he uses a vivid illustration here, who pluck off their skin from them and their flesh from their bones. In other words, you're a cannibal when you sit in judgment on others and when you love the evil and you hate the good.